I'm glad I posted my last video titled Conservatism is Not Equal to Men Going Their Own Way, because it gives me a chance to explain to the people in detail the futility of relying on the Conservative Party to address men's rights. But first, I want to make it clear that this is not an attack on Pine Grove or anybody else. This is an attack on a dysfunctional political strategy that is not and has not done anything for men for the past 50 years at least. And anybody who's watched my videos knows exactly how I feel about liberalism and Marxism and Obama and affirmative action and feminism. Nobody, and I mean nobody, who has taken the time to watch my videos can honestly say that I'm not vehemently opposed to that entire list. My track record irrefutably proves that the last thing I am is a liberal. So those seeking to defend conservatism as a viable solution for men are going to have a hard time blaming liberalism for what I'm about to say. Now, you're not going to be able to shift blame on this one is pretty much what I'm trying to say. Because what this video is all about is putting conservatism under the microscope and forcing it to prove that it's in any way benefit to men and men's rights. So first off, let's tackle the tired default conservative excuse that's used every time their party rears its ugly penchant for bureaucracy and warmongering. And this is the whole, we aren't them, that's the GOP, we're conservatives, there's a huge difference argument. And then they go on to cite which politicians they believe are real conservatives, people like Jim DeMint and Ron Paul and so on and so forth. Now this is a classic case of selective argumentation. It's just as foolish as saying that Democrat X, Y, and Z aren't authentic liberals because real liberals do this and that differently. The question we need to ask is if these conservatives are so different from the GOP, and the GOP is responsible for the bad rap the conservatives are getting, then why do these politicians, including DeMint and Ron Paul, continue to identify as members of the Republican Party and the GOP? Why by now are we not seeing sufficient numbers of these Republicans who know what real conservatism is abandoning their party in droves? They consistently choose not to. They consistently choose to continue to identify with the political party that they claim does not reflect true conservatism at all. Now, Ron Paul had the people behind him. So much so that people made him $6 million richer in one day. And that's record-breaking. But a lot of people did this in hopes that Ron Paul would do everything he could to get himself elected, not excluding switching to an independent should his Republican bid for president fail. Well, it did fail, and he refused to continue running as an independent. He simply would not do it. Why? Because he identified with the Republican Party, not with this so-called benevolent branch of conservatives that are the last hope for America and so on and so forth. I think that conservatives simply have lost the ability as politicians to do their politicking without the blame liberalism for everything we can't accomplish crutch. But even more so, I think that the whole Republican-Democrat-ism schism nonsense is nothing but a counter-revolutionary vow designed to funnel American politics into a perpetual stalemate where the issues are rendered insignificant due to a linear way of viewing politics. Left of center, right of center, far left, far right, radical leftist, ultra-conservative, get in line and pick your spot so we can get started on passing the buck back and forth. But whatever you do, do not ever under any circumstances deviate from that line. Deviation from the left-right line is exactly what both parties hate, because both conservatives and Democrats know damn well that the left-right line lets them set the rules and the parameters for what they consider to be reasonable and acceptable discourse. What this leads to is if you're a Democrat, you better be real careful what you say about abortion, and if you're a conservative, you better walk on eggshells when talking about the validity of the war on terror. It forces people to accept an agenda they only partially agree with, while simultaneously marginalizing those that might agree on some points but have completely different outlooks on the core issues of the party. And that's why the GOP and the Democrats had no problem working in conjunction to form the Commission on Presidential Debates, which has complete control over which candidates are allowed to take the stage at presidential debates. Funny, isn't it, that the Republican, which these exception to the golden rule conservatives identify with as their party, the Republicans had no problem collaborating with Democrats on an unfair memorandum of understanding to strong-arm independents out of presidential debates, which is exactly what happened to Ross Perot in his 1996 presidential bid. And so if a man with a net worth of almost $4 billion can't do anything to put a wedge in the left-right paradigm, do you really think that these two political conglomerates give a fuck about the calming working-class men, the group of men most affected by divorce, child support, unjust wars, feminism, and homelessness? I think not. And supplicating to a wolf in sheep's clothing conservative vanguard will do nothing for the issues that men face on a daily basis. And to propagate anything other than a complete and permanent distrust of the state in all of its forms is nothing short of treasonous to men's rights. Compromising within this political system will inevitably result in you compromising yourself, and it's no different for men as a whole. These people seem to think that we should blindly sacrifice our humanity and grasp on reality at the altar of patriotism. America and the countries of the West are no different than any other country and are ideally the servants of the people, since in any democratic society it is in fact the people that sustain it. And so America is a servant of the people and needs to act accordingly. When it ceases to do so, then America, just like any other country, will inevitably lead itself to its own destruction. And in the process, it will, without exception, subject men to tyranny. Which is exactly what men are under in the United States of America today. Unflinching conservative acolytes seem unable to understand that a country is justified in proportion to how it addresses the needs and wants of its own people. Once it refuses to effectively do so, then it is the people who deem it unworthy of its own existence, and America is no different. To point out the government's inability to listen to the people in regards to unjust war, misogyny, and feminism is the exact opposite of being anti-American, because to do so is profoundly American, seeing as America is not a government but it's made up of the people, and it is sustained by men, and is paid for on the battlefield by the blood of American men. So I'm sorry, Bernard, but when you say that the Iraq War was a mistake, you really do a disservice to the men who died there. The Iraq War was no mistake. It was a lie that killed off thousands of American men and possibly millions of Iraqi men. So let's make no mistake about it. Let's call it what it is. It was a lie. And what did we get as a result of this lie? The idea that Big Brother has to protect us from anything and everything bad in the world, which in reality adds up to an ever-increasing militarized police force that never seems to catch any real terrorist but still feels the need to walk through New York City subway systems toting submachine guns just in case. And I see them every time I take the subway, and I'm sure it's the same in any major city that they choose to label as vulnerable to terrorist attack. These anti-terrorism initiatives are almost solely the brainchilds of the GOP, and I don't see these conservatives saying a damn thing about it. And to me, it's kind of ironic that you're now starting to see the slow and subtle transition from the main focus of the war on terror being on Muslims to being on now possible quote-unquote domestic terrorists, which of course will eventually come to include, and this is what they'll call you, radical right-wing Second Amendment defenders. And then it won't feel so good, will it? You see, the GOP and the conservatives that identify with them are passing these anti-freedom, anti-American Patriot Act legislations under the delusion that it could never be them that America will deem more likely to be terrorists. And what men going their own way should understand is that one day, considering the government's proclivity for using vague euphemisms, men going their own way could most certainly fit into the definition of what they're now calling, quote, lone wolf terrorism. Now, remember that they can switch the meanings of words and the perception of society at will. Remember that. But of course, to conservatives, it's just the liberal agenda carrying this kind of legislation out. The liberals have now hijacked the Department of Homeland Security and are using it to vilify the noble and honest right-wingers. You see, this is a type of sequential conditioning that baby steps the definition of terrorism into anything the government wants it to be. And that will eventually reveal the true purpose for militarization of America that not one conservative tried to address in any substantial and meaningful way following 9/11. It's a form of political correctness that dovetails with the region of political correctness that the liberals are generally charged with enforcing. The GOP is responsible for enforcing what amounts to the Orwellian equivalent of always being at war with Eurasia, for example. It's perpetual war, in which we fight a shadowy enemy that we'll never truly know the identity of until it becomes crystal clear that the enemy is in fact ourselves. And by then it'll be way too late. It's the perfect PC equilibrium that ensures each party will look as if it's trying to accomplish something and then be able to scapegoat the other party when it fails to accomplish anything for the people at all. And the process simply repeats over and over. The last manifestation being, of course, Obama and how the Democrats are starting to see that what change actually means is more of the status quo. And the next manifestation will be in November, when the GOP figures out that voting in the quote-unquote golden conservatives cannot, by definition, lead to anything other than the status quo as well. So in conclusion, I just want to say that the faster that men, being the only group of people that can overthrow the militarized, culturally Marxist and misandric behemoth that America has become, the faster we realize that modern American politics is simply a failed repeating Hail Mary football pass, the faster we can actually address real solutions that at least have the potential to get results. That's all I really gotta say. Good night, God bless.